Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High. We're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah.
Yes, well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, I thank the Most High, I truly do, that we're back again. Back again for another episode, another very, very precious, powerful episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edmia, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, indeed very thankful. So indeed, very thankful to the Most High for this precious opportunity. This very, very precious opportunity. Be back with you here again to deliver again these very precious words. These very precious words. But the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, directly has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that indeed I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, in this blessed time we call Shabbat, we must understand what must be the devout mission. The devout, my brothers and sisters, desire of us all. But there is no peace. We say Shabbat Shalom. So many of us say it so often. But my brothers and sisters, there is no peace. Not in the Shabbat or any other time is there peace with the Most High. So finally, at last, his people shall seek him for all, I said all, and everything that he has declared must be a mutual agreement in the hearts of us all. Much I want to talk about tonight. I would like to clarify a bit of what I just spoke just a moment ago. It's important that we all understand it. There's so much truth that's contained in the scriptures that many have not pursued because they did not discern it necessary. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, false religion. I said false religion in church, my brothers and sisters, there was never anything else but worldly. Has falsely taught the teaching of the Messiah. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, whatever they taught mankind not to seek the fullness of all that the Most High declared since the beginning, it was not, I repeat, not the premise upon which early church was established. They have not, my brothers and sisters, if they've taught any manner of partiality as advisable or acceptable at all, they have not taught the truth, my brothers and sisters, that gathered the early church. In fact, I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, they lied when they said the Messiah gave his life to preserve any manner of sin, partiality, or perversion, after any of the misconceits or pollutions of this world. But there are those who have not understood this. I repeat, there are those who have not understood this, and they've taken a holy name lightly. In other words, sworn by the holy name to think of his covenant as something that they can presume after the measure of their own heart. And my brothers and sisters, what does this even say? What is it, Psalm 50? He said to those who kept his covenant lightly, he will say to those who have kept his covenant lightly, and certainly when we see 45,000 denominations all declaring something different, contentious, we know that is not the covenant of the Most High, nor could it ever be. But he says to those who keep his covenant lightly, not seeking the fullness of all that pleases him. And the Most High never said that he would be pleased with or join himself with anyone who would seek any devious standard less than the fullness of all that is his will. He says, in fact, in Psalm 50, it needs to be examined. He seeks those who kept his covenant lightly. It says, behold, I rebuke you for all your sins. You thought I was a thief like you. But behold, I rebuke you for all your sins. Woe to those who believe in any way that the Messiah comes to sanction, endorse, or preserve any of the lies and pollutions, the miscreant thoughts and contrivances and conspiracies of any of the double-minded rulers of this earth, more concerned for the preservation of the iniquity upon which their kingdoms were founded, against, my brothers and sisters, what is indeed the gospel, the true peace and word of the kingdom of Yah himself. I'd like you, my brothers and sisters, to consider with regard to the Shabbat, as we look further to understand why it's important to discern all these things. Oh, there's so many out there. That we start talking about the deeper things of the Most High, the things the scripture says that we must remember that we transcend transgression. I said, there's a lot of scripture, my brothers and sisters, contained in the Bible. Particularly, I would even mention, for instance, Isaiah 46:8-13, that speaks about so much that must in these latter days be remembered. Malachi 4:4, remember. Bring to remembrance the heart of the fathers, revealing it again to the children. So much truth that the scripture says of man without, he has never discerned how to repent. So much truth that of man is without, my brothers and sisters, there remain schisms among the people of Yah, and the only offering the Most High will accept of his people is peace. The people who will reason together, reason seeking the Most High beyond themselves, that they might be true to him. You to consider, for instance, Exodus, my brothers and sisters, concerning the Shabbat. Exodus 23:12 beginning. I said Exodus 23:12 beginning. If somebody could put that up into the chat, it would be glorious. It's important. Yes, very important that the truth concerning these things be known. Much to talk about tonight. We need to carry on and need to move through it as swiftly as conscience some time to allow. See what I can do here. Get this into the chat. Here we go. Let's see. Here we go. I'm talking about Exodus 23 and 13. I look like I managed to get it up here. Okay, great. It's important. We must understand the Shabbat, the time the Most High has consecrated. I said the Shabbat is the time the Most High has consecrated. The very word relates that we must seek the Most High for all that is the complete purity of all that is His will, that there might be peace, purity, and completion, offering one choice, one sense of righteousness, one sense of justice. Genuine, my brothers and sisters, sense of what is freedom. He said the truth will set us free, but it's not after a partial perception of what it is. In fact, my brothers and sisters, nothing, no word that is true defies any other word that is true. All that is the word of the Most High. It all, my brothers and sisters, reinforces every other precept the Most High has or ever will speak. And blessed are they who will understand this. Exodus 23 and 12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work. And on the seventh day thou shalt rest. It means, my brothers and sisters, cease from all that would otherwise distract you. What are those who trust in a system that sanctions every distraction and every lie that presents itself as if it were wise, distracting the people, confusing the people, that so few, my brothers and sisters, come of a consecrated mind beyond contradiction to discern, my brothers and sisters, from amidst all the mass of pollutions and lies, what it is to hear and discern the voice of the Most High Himself alone. 6 days shall you do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, the stranger, they may be refreshed. My brothers and sisters, I want you to consider well what is said in Exodus 23:13. I want to talk more about this, Yah willing, as we move through the course of the show. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, there's so much that needs to be spoken about. I just want to lay some fundamental as to why these things are important. Exodus 23:13, it says, in all things, the Most High has said, and in all things that I have said unto you, are to help your people. Be circumspect, that means considerate, concerning all things that He has said, and all things that He has said, collaboratively together, to know what is said and not know why it is said, is to miss the point. Not to realize how it is, my brothers and sisters, that a golden thread goes through all the word of the Most High, interlinking it all. God does not lie. My brothers and sisters, we must discern all of the Most High declared in the context in which it was said. Examining these words deeply for all the implications. Lacking nothing. In fact, the book of Micaiah says at the mouth of Messiah, he said that your righteousness, your sense of what is justice, your discernment and discretion and obedience to the conscience of the Most High according to His commands must exceed that of your, get my point, variant contentious leaders. That's what it means. There'd be no contention among them if they were true to all. He said, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. In other words, get my point. How shall one enter the kingdom of Yah after a multitude of rulers who themselves cannot agree nor discern what in fact is peace? Such contentions, in fact, my brothers and sisters, are worldliness. Such contentions are not of the Holy Spirit. Such contentions, my brothers and sisters, are of the devices and ambitions, rulerships of this world. And quite frankly, since the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein, no one has a right, a genuine right to rule, but through the example and guidance the Most High himself would give. No one has a true right to rule, but as true to the Most High. Therefore, since all the nations, I repeat, all the nations of this earth have long been falling short to the glory of what is that pure, perfect peace. In other words, get my point. You find it hard to believe the world is falling away. Why then is there no peace? The gospel of peace went forth, but we see a world still in turmoil. Look around you, my brothers and sisters, even the events of this very day. Make it evident that the world, just like Isaiah 59 and 8 said, the way of peace men have not known. And they made for themselves crooked paths, and they who walk therein shall not know peace. How then shall men believe that the varying nations have ever had the right to declare good from evil? That's what ancient Rome sought to do, my brothers and sisters. They classified what they would call good from evil as to what would or would not preserve the insanity of contradictions. That was the premises they called Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Much we need to talk about tonight, about what really was then the foundation upon which the church, the early church, the apostolic church, the church the apostles spoke in, what was the true foundation that established that church, that drew so many to it? What was the premise that was already in the minds of the people, especially in the East, that by and large the West did not have? What was that premise? Caused so many to hear the words of the apostles. I dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that no one that would have in the day of Messiah been called Christ ever preached the gospel. Let me repeat to you, no one, and in fact, I even go as far as to say it this way, no Jesus Christ ever preached the gospel. Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, was the foundation upon which the early church was established. Might sound like a strange word to many, but hear me out. Neither the title or name Jesus was what Messiah was called in his lifetime. Nor was the title Christ a title after which Messiah was known. Both the title or name Jesus and the title Christ were both entirely a Western Greco-Roman, European, if you will, origin. Even the thought form that they would have had among the heathen as to how they regarded their gods, plural, were not after Western polytheist premise. Allow them to understand truly what was the premise upon which the early church was established. So how could what they called a church ever be anything else but worldliness, anything else but the pollutions and the indiscretion of the nation? Example. The title Christ, was one that existed among the heathen long before. I said long before the birth of Yeshua. And it was a title, my brothers and sisters, that was bestowed upon the various rulers of Greco-Romanism that were perceived as those favored by all the gods. all the gods, the pagan gods, the heathen gods, the demons of Rome. And yes, I said demons. Sad, my brother and sister, that most have not understood that in Western polytheist thought, there were no real concept of even a demon, let alone the concept of the one most high. Hey, wherever there was an aberration and enough people believed in it, they just called it another god. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The concept they had of Christ was one anointed and favored after the spirit and in the spirit of all the heathen gods, all the warlike, constantly contentious, warlike gods that always warred against one another of Greece and Rome. My brothers and sisters, the goal of Roman premise was though the heathen gods they worshiped were at war against one another at all times. My brothers and sisters, the people were not to offend any of them. And they believed that they followed their rulers. They called them saviors, term they used. Those who had the favor of all the gods and offended none of them. How hypocritical, my brothers and sisters, must one be in order to seek to appease a multitude warlike, constantly one against another. But seemingly, my brothers and sisters, he could be how, what, true to them all? It's an impossibility. No man can serve two masters, let alone what was a Roman pantheon that includes who knows how many. It's time we wake up and understand, my brothers and sisters, since Rome felt that its preservation rested in the preservation in the minds of the people of all the variant gods of Rome. We have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that since the leaders called themselves the anointed of all these gods, all these pagan gods, the idea of one anointed after the Holy One of Israel, one anointed after the spirit of one, was seen as an extreme direct threat. I said an extreme direct threat against the very existence of Rome itself. Those who are wives will understand something, my brothers and sisters. It is called the gospel or the kingdom of Yah. It is called the peace or the rule of the kingdom of Yah. I did not say the varying ideals of a multitude of contentious, unknowing, resistant, and rebellious nations. And yes, I did say resistant and rebellious nations. The gospel has gone forth that would have brought peace and healing to all the nations, but the nations still remain divided. All the nations seeking to declare themselves sovereign, having a right, they said, to declare good and evil. Forgetting, I said forgetting, that the earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. The kingdom of Yah will not be a kingdom, my brothers and sisters, twisted and contorted after all the varying ideals of the nation. There's a reason why the scripture says we must overcome. I said we must overcome the marks of the beast, the standards of the nation that would not reason after the will of one. We must learn what it is, my brothers, and prove that we can. Reason, seeking beyond ourselves, to discern what is the pure, perfect will of Yah. Unless we prove that we can be reverent unto him for this purpose, beyond all the anomalies of the nations and all the contentions of the people, even willing, my brothers and sisters, to, for holy name's sake, to learn to forgive one another, because all have sinned against the glory of Yah. And what's one scripture actually relates, my brothers and sisters, is a very powerful premise when it says, against thee and thee alone have we sinned. It means, my brothers and sisters, that it's because men have sinned against what Yah calls the difference between good and evil, that all the contentions of the earth exist. There's a reason why he said, oh, that you had kept my commandments. In Isaiah 48. He said, oh, that you kept, preserved, maintained, defended my commandments, what he declared from the beginning. Then your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. And when the scriptures in Isaiah 42 talk about an answer, my brothers and sisters, it relates that discerning again what the Most High declared from the beginning, before there were any of these arguments and contentions. Only answer. There's a reason why the scriptures say in Isaiah 48, Messiah will come saying, oh, that you kept my commandments, preserved, maintained, and defended the truth of my conscience in the midst of this hostile world. He said, then your peace would have been as a river, your righteousness as the waves of the sea. And he says, from the beginning, from the creation, he comes. There am I. That you should know the way that you should go. Even my brothers and sisters. Do not be blinded. Do not be blinded by the depravities over what we see and the diversitude, the arguments, the differences, and the divisions against the divine vision that has plagued this earth and racked it with all manner of curses and sin and damnations, as we see it presently in this woe-begotten age. My brothers and sisters, I have said it before, I will say it again. The scriptures prophesy that there must come. I said there must come a restoration. Of all things, the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. It all must be brought to mind. Concerning all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And when Messiah brings about that restitution, I'm talking about Acts 3:18-23. Says whoever will not hearken to his testimony, that prophet, that anointed one, that is Yeshua himself. So whoever will not hearken to him, restores all that testimony, should be cut off from among the people. Be wise. I said cut off from among the people. Be wise. So many absorb what they want to call the difference between Old and New Testament. Heaven help us. Messiah said, your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders. If they in any way deny the law and the prophets, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Kingdom of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is the heavenly place that shall be established upon this earth. Those who realize that the word for heaven is Shema, the word for heaven, if you will, is Shamayim. The people of the Shema who seek the Most High, knowing that he is one, does not deny himself according to all that he has declared. They're loving and seeking with all their minds, heart, soul, and might, no resistance. That none would be an obstacle against the awakening of his brother. I'm talking about Mark 12:29-31. I'm talking, my brothers and sisters, about Deuteronomy 6:4. But if we love him, we will know how, or just learn how, to accept his reproof, that we all be in his name one. They talk about the Old and New Testament, my brothers and sisters, what Messiah brought and what the apostles taught was not. They want to say Old and New Testament. I was saying earlier, latter testimony. It's a restoration to the mind of so much that, think about it, Israel at the time was under Western imperialist rule at the time. The leaders of Israel were so hypocritical, made so hypocritical under so much persecution, that they even went as far as to say they had no king but Caesar. Had no king but the pagan sun worshiper Caesar. You must understand, my brothers and sisters, the condition of Israel at the time. Where are the promises the abundance of the promises of Yah to Israel. Where are they mostly related, my brothers and sisters? Oh, they are related in the latter testimony as well. But the deepest, longer elaboration concerning these promises. But by and large, undoubtedly in the text of Moshe and the prophets. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you now, is that what was happening in the early centuries was what was called Pax Romana, the rule of Rome. The idea that Rome would dwell eternal, idea that Rome would rule the world against the promises of Yah, that he surely one day would awaken his people. I said surely would one day awaken his people, though they be scattered to all the ends of the earth. He would one day awaken his people unto the promises that he gave that Israel, true to the fullness of the covenant of Yah, would have dominion. Therefore, what people believed, whether they believed the expression of Rome or the expectation the one Most High gave to Israel, was an immediate, my brothers and sisters, contention for the survival of the Roman Empire itself. So the idea of a Messiah, a Mashiach, a Shiloh, a Shashashah, a Kurdi, oh, we need to talk about what those titles mean. One anointed after the will of one, give dominion again unto the one Most High. Threat to all the gods of Rome. Therefore, a threat to the rulers. A threat to the rulers because they claim to be what? Appointed by all the various false gods of Rome? Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time that we understand the deal, the real deal. You're talking about Old and New Testament. My brothers and sisters, there's a constancy in all these words for those who understand it. Old versus New Testament, like I've said before. Many are the ways in which it is written in 2 Peter, 3:14, the apostle warned that men would take the words of the apostle Paul, twist them completely out of context, forgetting that the Most High will surely bring dominion to his people Israel. And the Most High will send Messiah to destroy all the false so-called fundamental principles upon which the nations have been established against the primacy of the righteousness of the kingdom the Most High said he, through his Messiah, would establish upon this earth. And it's when they took the word law and twisted it to the degree that they did, it was so easy for them, my brothers and sisters, to teach those who were already polytheists in their thinking, already confusing their thinking, already trusting first in the ideals of Rome that they call, and their leaders they call their law. Heaven help us. You have to ask the question, what manner of law did the people among the heathen already know? So what did that scripture mean when it says not under the law but under grace? My brothers and sisters, only by the grace, the mercy of Yah, we're sure to bring that will overthrow all the misconceits of the nations. Only by the mercy of Yah is it possible for a man to even begin to know and imagine the high depth and breadth and the high implications as the righteousness of the divine word. Since the Most High would bring to pass all that he has spoken, it is indeed his mercy. They call it the gospel of grace. The gift of Yah that he teaches the way of his kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of Yah is called. By his grace, my brothers and sisters, the Most High teaches his law, reveals his law according to his conscience beyond all the misconceits of those who seek to establish their own misdesigns. The grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, does not put away divine law. It reveals it. So I said, think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy it. But ultimately, my brothers and sisters, to teach it fully, something that your leaders have not. And man not knowing what he has missed, not knowing what he has not seen, so often my brothers and sisters can remain blind, thinking constantly that he sees. My brothers and sisters, the duty of a prophet is to speak what others would not. Again, the mind, what many have not considered, let alone dared to speak. Or dare men believe that the Spirit of Yah teaches all things and brings all things to remembrance. Leaves the conscience of a man in all things lesser aware, more indiscriminate. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Kingdom will not be composed of all the variant misconceits of this world. And I say to you again, Messiah will not sanction any of the lies of this world. He did not give his life that men receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Testimony that they might lie. No, my brothers and sisters, not even once. He gave his life that men might receive the Holy Spirit, that conscious men might be raised together as one to overcome all divisions, all contentions. But this is, my brothers and sisters, to our people who, becoming devout unto his holy name, might cast aside, my brothers and sisters, all the differences, knowing that we would do far better to seek the Most High together to find out what we have missed, that we might prepare for him who does not compromise his word. Exodus 23:13, it said, all things that I've said to you, be circumspect. It means consider all things the Most High has said, for height, depth, and breadth, all the implications thereof, that you make no mention of the God of Moses, the name of other gods. Did you notice what he just said here? The heathen refused to seek the fullness of what is divine will. They might maintain all kinds of misconceits, to exploit and be exploited. And none such thinking is the love of Yah. They said that you make no mention of the name of other gods. In other words, there be no false concept of deity among us. That men swear allegiance to no false concept of Yah, nor his Messiah, nor that any such lying words be heard from your mouth. Heaven help us to understand what this means. I need to explain something tonight. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I need to explain something, a very powerful premise tonight. A premise that, if well understood, is quite earth-shaking in its genuine awakening to awareness. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. There are those who speak of Messiah, calling him a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Psalms 110. But my brothers and sisters, contained in Psalms 110 and all the implications of what was said, because to understand, they said if a priest after all the Melchizedek, many would be wise. And understand, what did ancient Israel discern about this one called Melchizedek? How did he fit in the knowledge that was the history of ancient Israel? Our brothers and sisters, not to know the secrets of what it meant to those of ancient Israel in the early church, when even in the book of Hebrews it talks about Messiah out of the tribe of Judah, a priest after the affirmation that was given by Melchizedek. And what did it say about Melchizedek in the 7th chapter Speaking ultimately of one who would come forth out of the tribe of Judah, Shiloh, that's mentioned in Genesis 49. Oh, we need to talk about all of that. It spoke about how Melchizedek met Abraham after what was called the slaughter of the kings. Very, very powerful bit of word to understand that, my brothers and sisters. Genesis, in the four verses, Genesis 14, Scripture speaks of five cities, the five-city metroplex that was Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboiim, and Zoar. Isaiah 19:18-25 speaks of a place likened to those five cities and calls them the city of destruction. And it says, because of all the oppression, about all the confusion in the midst, some will be wise enough. They see in the oppression and the contentions and confusion of a world, desirous for a greater king. Some will cry to the Most High because of the oppression, much like men did in the days of ancient Israel in bondage to Egypt. They will cry to the Most High because of the oppressors, and he will send, the scripture says, a savior and a defender, a judge and a great one, and he shall deliver them. He talks about these five cities, my brothers and sisters, called the city of destruction. Swears by the name of the Most High, but speaks the doctrine of the language of the heathen. It says, because of what Messiah must do, the people must be delivered from all these misconceits, that they finally know the Most High as he is, that they swear a vow to the Most High. In order it is to vow, truly a vow unto the Most High as he is, and to perform it completely. The scripture says, because of this, there will be a highway, an agreement between Egypt and Assyria, and Assyria to the north of Israel, Egypt to the south, and Israel is a blessing in the midst of the land. Finally, my brothers and sisters, there being one understanding unto peace. In other words, because men have not discerned what it is, my brothers and sisters, what is truly an agreement, the Most High will be pleased with it. And every, like I said, what the old song says, everybody wants to rule the world. But men cannot agree, my brothers and sisters, as to what is that sovereign rule. Most High would oppose all others and establish one for the good of all. Blessed are they who would not understand this. Isaiah 41. Going into 41:21-42:4, speaks about how the leaders, none of them could preach the gospel. And I would dare even go as far as to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that only one who is the King of Kings can preach surely what is the gospel from above that rules over all the nations. Scripture talks about how the nations, none of them could truly preach the gospel. None of them could declare truly what is an answer, or what is the solution? And I've said it before on this show, that word for answer actually relates that none could among them could declare truly what was the decrees of the Most High, true to his conscience, as it was from the beginning, before all the contentions and anomalies and hatred and defiance against divine will that is accumulated in this world. None of them could declare the word that is from the beginning. As Messiah said, oh, that you kept what I declared to you from the beginning. Peace would have been as a river, and your righteousness as waves of the sea. He says, he shall come, since men have not discerned after their choices what indeed is the righteousness of Yah. The Most High will send forth one saying, behold, my servant, my elect one, one I chose. I didn't say one that men elected. That scripture says in Isaiah 41:21. That the one the Most High chooses will expose all those that men have elected, yes, even them all. So behold, my servant, my elect one, whom my soul delights to put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, and the isles shall wait for his law. That means he would oppose the misrule of every other. Scripture calls him the righteous one likened to the rising sun. The sudden arising of the sun to cast out the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. And Isaiah 41, because then, my brothers and sisters, a righteous one, the Most High himself, would raise up to subdue all the kings. Subaal, subdue all the kings under his feet, that they become dust before his sword and driven stubble to before his bow. In other words, before the exactitude of his word, all the princes and all the variant misrule of all the nations shall be deposed, that a world should discern again the will of one. This the Most High must do, that there be no more question or doubt as to what is the righteousness of Yah. What did I say about Genesis 14? So far, it's about those five cities. The scripture says, one likened to that five cities. The scripture talks about the midst of the land of Egypt. Hosea says in 11:5, you need to look particularly 10th and 11th, 10th to 12th verse, says that Egypt to the west. A land like unto Egypt, my brothers and sisters, keeping the world in darkness after the multitude of its many diverse gods, and men cannot discern the will of the one. There's an article on my website, hiddengospel.com, an article called The Secret City Prophecies. Very important, my brothers and sisters, that you examine closely every word that, and search the archives, because I've related with an elaboration upon these things so much more. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The Genesis, when you continue to read the book of Genesis concerning this one called Melchizedek, did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? When you continue to read the scriptures concerning this one called Melchizedek, whose name means King of Righteousness, when you continue to read the scriptures, reading on down in Genesis 14, what we find are these words. And it should help us to understand, when I go to Psalm 14, the implications of all this, when we examine these words closely. Genesis 14th chapter. I said Genesis 14th chapter. After Lot was captured by enemy kings, Abraham's nephew Lot was captured by enemy kings. Abraham went to go retrieve his nephew. And 14:16 says he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot. And his goods and the women also and the people. Genesis 14:17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and all the kings that were with him at the valley of Shiva, which is at the king's dale, which is the king's dale. Now I want you to get this. 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High Yah. Notice this was after the slaughter of the kings. We read these scriptures, the same concept is over in Hebrews. Of in Hebrews in the 7th chapter, as I mentioned before. And it speaks in this wise, recalling this as an example that should be thought of, context, understand the ideas that founded the early church. Even the premise, my brothers and sisters, after which Messiah asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And the response of Kepha was, you are the, if they told it right, it said, you are the Kurdi. The Shashin Shah. Our brothers and sisters, we should understand it better. The one called Shiloh, the King of Kings. What did it mean to the early church? Notice it said, Hebrews 7:1, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salam, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. His name, my brothers and sisters, the one who Abraham gave a tenth to, was called by name, by interpretation, meaning King of Righteousness, as King of Salam, which is also the King of Peace. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, looking back at Genesis 14 and 8, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was called the priest of the Most High. Did you hear my brothers? He blessed him. He blessed Abraham after the battle and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High Yah, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Remember that point. And blessed be the Most High Yah, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Salem said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. My brothers and sisters, can we now go stand the real meaning? Or what's it, Psalms 110? And understand, my brothers and sisters, what, again, is that Psalms 110? When we find these words, please listen closely, my brothers and sisters. Psalms 110. That we understand what Messiah is called and why. Psalm 110, a song of David, the Most High, said unto his son who also bears his name. If you put in your King James Version, says the Lord, the Father then said to his son, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. How about until I put thy enemies under thy hand? 11, Psalm 110 and 2 says, the Most High shall send forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. He shall rule among. And how about, my brothers and sisters, that word means the same, even rule over all his enemies. Psalms 110, 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In other words, there should be a people who should be willing to receive his authority, beautiful in their holiness, my brothers and sisters, as in the womb of the morning or the beginning, the beauty of a new day. Refreshed like the dew of youth, my brothers and sisters. It says the Most High has sworn, 11, how about Psalm 110 and 4? Most High sworn and will not repent. Thou art priest forever. They put down after order. How about the decree? How about the reaffirmation concerning what the Most High said concerning Abraham? My brothers and sisters, the Most High already has foresworn, if you really understand it, that he had already chosen Abraham as a faithful one. And those who believe faithfully after the will of one, I said, those who believe faithfully after the will of one, created in one mind after the will of the one Most High, to discern, my brothers and sisters, the righteousness of Yah, the truth of Yah, the sovereignty of Yah, the ultimate kingship of Yah above all the rulers of the nations. So what does the Most High say? That his authority should be known. How about what it says in Isaiah 45, that all may know from the rising sun, from the east to the west, that there's none else, no mightier one, no mighty one but Yah. Most High sworn and will not repeat, and sent our priest forever after affirmation that was made by Melchizedek. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. There are those who talk about a Melchizedek priesthood. There were those who were called the sons of Zadok. Yes, from among the Canaanites from whence Melchizedek came. Who, after Israel was freed from Egypt, when they came and Israel came into the land of Canaan, some of those who, my brothers and sisters, recognized the ancient decrees and belief of Melchizedek, faith of Melchizedek, our brother says, did not resist when Israel came to take over the territory that was called Shebus that became Jerusalem. And in their righteous expectation, my brothers and sisters, they even were assimilated among the priests of Israel. You look at Zechariah 9th chapter and see where it talks about even those of Palestine become like the Jebusites. Time to understand what that means too. What does it say, my brothers and sisters, as 1:10 and 4? Most High sworn will not repent. Speaking of Messiah, thou priest forever. How about a priest throughout all eternity, declared from the beginning after the order of Melchizedek? Like I said, Most High already had a plan, to resolve all issues resulting in man's falling away from discerning the sovereignty of Yah. To the Most High at thy right hand.
Wow.
Go back and read sometimes Isaiah 44:20, 45:6, and see who he said that about. Most High at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the heathen. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He will drink of the brook of the way, and therefore he shall lift up the head. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. Why did so many come swiftly to what was established as the early church? Kepha, when they called Peter, said, "You are the Kurdee." How about the one called Shashan Shah, the King of Kings? And Messiah said, upon this rock, this foundation, I'll build my church. My brothers and sisters, it's good for us to understand Matthew 28:18-20. He said, all power from on high, of the Father's hand, all authority as king has been given unto me. Go forth, therefore, and teach, convert all nations, baptizing, purging them, initiating, my brothers and sisters, even unto all the truth, baptizing them. I said purging them from all false rule, showing them the way then beyond all worldly unrighteousness, teaching them to do everything. My brothers and sisters, how shall men come to the righteousness of the one holy, sure, anointed, representative of all the Most High declared, after the spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. How shall men come to the one king, be converted after the will of the one king, the king over all kings, after all the miscreant ideals of the other kings, supposed kings of this earth? What does Scripture say about these hypocritically ridiculous rulers? It's amazing, my brothers and sisters. Psalms 2 says the nations are at a rage. How about, my brothers and sisters, none discerning indeed what is said, Psalm 2. Why? Because these kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. How about, my brothers and sisters, how insane that is? Kings against the anointing, even the anointing of the one Most High. How about, my brothers and sisters, then seeking to present lies? Did you hear, my brothers and sisters, seeking to present lies against the one Most High and even his anointed, who is called the Prince of Peace? You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, in every nation, people, the nations want to call themselves, in effect, sovereign, if you will, free moral agents, as if they all have a right to declare good from evil. But what does the Scripture say in Psalms 24? The earth belongs to Yah, and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, none shall ascend to the hill of the Most High unto his kingdom, but those whose righteousness is from the Holy One of salvation. who will not lift up their souls after any man's vanity or partial perspective, ideal, or standard. Who will not lift up his soul under vanity, nor will he swear deceitfully after anything less than the fullness of all the Most High would have us to conceive, perceive, and receive. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, that men have been subject after the slaughtering ideals of Roman making, like I said, the first centuries, so-called common era. Rome murdered, my brothers and sisters, millions upon millions of the early believers. And after slaughtering so many, you'll find in an article on my website, www.hiddengospel.com, an article called Tribulation, 70 to 365 AD, that speaks of those horrendous, horrible years wherein Rome murdered the early believers who believed in one king after the anointing of one against the rule, my brothers and sisters, of the false rulers of Rome, who saw themselves as representatives of every hypocritical idea imaginable. You have to understand something about this, my brothers and sisters. Rome, against the truth of the gospel of the expected great king, the anointed one of the one Most High, Rome saw the gospel of the greater kingdom that was to come after the king that will subdue all other kings as an immediate threat to Roman primacy in the world. For how should Caesar continue to rule when he called himself a son of a sun god? You need to understand what we speak. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, no politician who would cater seeking to persuade after the varied ideals of men could ever be a servant of Yah. Read Galatians 1 and 1 through 8 and understand. There's only one gospel. There's only one pattern after which the kingdom of Yah, pure consummate word after which the kingdom of Yah should be established. So if any man preaching any other gospel, any other so-called expectation among the nations, and I've said this before, all the nations have their own concept of the gospel. All the nations have their own concept of peace. From the rulers on down, every nation had its own concept of gospel, or a concept of peace, a concept of rule, a concept of order. But my brothers and sisters, the gospel that shall rule the world and give it to the kingdom of Yah, even the gospel of the Holy One of Israel. And it's time a world understand, my brothers and sisters, come to understand what for so long all the nations have hated. Not discerning, my brothers and sisters, Israel as it is. Not discerning the ancient conscience of those who knew to honor Yah according to all that he declares. Messiah, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We should understand then, my brothers and sisters, is one who is not going to accept any of the lies of the false principles or any of the misconceits or any of the contrivances that seem to be called worship among any that presently exists among any of the nations. And yes, my brothers and sisters, you will not accept any of the partials, any of your kings, presidents, rulers of any kind, and not even my brothers and sisters will he accept any of the varying standards that have made the 45,000 denominations that men call what? It's insanely called the body of Christ today. He will sanction none of them, my brothers and sisters, because he will declare a rule that is above and beyond all the hypocrisies and partial standards, the compromises, the insanities and the vanities, the unsoundness of them all. What did the scripture say again in Isaiah 42, that the Most High has looked upon the sons of men ultimately, like it said in Psalms 14, Psalm 53, and saw none of the rulers that preached the gospel of his kingdom preaching the misconceits of their own. And my brothers and sisters, where before he had sent prophets, he said, for a long time he had not. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because men, quite frankly, if you really want to know the truth, He says he hadn't sent prophets for a long time because men were not worthy. Whenever he sent prophets, men only sought to slaughter them. They sought to twist the words they were given after the concepts of their own minds rather than ask the Most High for his spirit to comprehend a word from a higher place. Scriptures in Isaiah 8:16 through 9:16. If you read it closely, it says, Most High hid his face. In other words, my brother says, men cannot discern, if the Most High does not allow men to discern him as he is, they cannot discern him. One scripture says he creates, allows or brings to bear either wisdom or ignorance. They put down light and darkness. Our brothers and sisters, what it means is that the Most High decides when men will see, if they can see, and if they cannot. Meaning that he decides when he decides to bring the sin forth a prophet, that you might discern truly what is the righteousness of his will. My brothers and sisters, count it a blessing. Whenever the Most High sends one that truly has discretion to reveal, my brothers and sisters, what others could not, who dares to speak out of faithfulness to the Most High, what others would not. If you understand, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah comes as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. What does he come to do? You have to stop and consider for a moment, my brothers and sisters. Book of Revelation speaks of a system of this world, Babylon, ancient Rome, murdering the saints, murdering those who are consecrated unto the Most High. Revelation 6 says the same. If you understand the white horse rider as Messiah is preaching the gospel, and the nation of the world, red horse rider, seeking to take away that word of peace, that agreement. It talks about afterward coming a system of false church. Horns like a lamb speaking of the dragon. In other words, never speaking for the fullness of all that is divine word and promise. Never speaking fully according to the fullness of all that is divine sovereign authority. Devil worship, my brothers and sisters. Praising, get me now, deviant, falling short. Never fully the principles of the Most High. All men are short-sighted ideal after which rulers have bribed and persuaded the masses, never preaching the gospel, which is the surety of all that is the word of the Most High. When you read the word gospel, it means glad tidings, but it means sure word. It means the whole word, purity and completion, offering one choice. It means, my brothers and sisters, that since he said it, Yohanan, John, 15:14, you are my friends if you do everything that I command you. It means, my brothers and sisters, whoever will not seek that fullness is called the enemy. And there's been an enemy church. People call it church. There was always, my brothers and sisters, defied the very meaning of what a church is. Filled with the pollutions and the stench of an inconscient world. 2 Thessalonians warned against a wicked, a lawlessness that would enter, my brothers and sisters. And what does it say? Men have come to love it. Love wicked, lawless men sitting behind pulpits. 2 Thessalonians 2, defying, my brothers and sisters, the regathering of a people in the unto the wisdom of one. And think about it. When they talk about the idea about having freedom, we need to talk about that. Is a people free, my brothers and sisters, who are amidst a world of so many opposing voices, people so controlled after seeking to appease so many oppositions that they can't discern the will of one? What does Scripture say about this false church in 2 Thessalonians? And behind my brothers and sisters, it's pulpits. And I would even go and say among the nations upon its thrones, the wicked ones presiding over their temples. Causing men, my brothers and sisters, to what? Have no love of the truth. A false church causing people, my brothers and sisters, to despise all righteousness, to prefer unrighteousness. Again, my brothers and sisters, to have no love of the truth. My brothers and sisters, if they trust after a lawless one in their pulpits, it means they despise the law of the Most High. They compel the people, my brothers and sisters, to resist the truth of the kingdom of Yah whenever it is given, to preserve the unrighteousness of the nations. My brothers and sisters, against this false church, the Most High calls an enemy against his people discerning the truth. Is what all must, every lie, every counterfeit must be overcome. What does Revelation call it? In the 13th chapter, horns like a lamb and speaking as the dragon, the deceiver who deceives, the devil who deceives this whole world. My brothers and sisters, every single standard of all the rulers that resist the people coming to understand the fullness of what the Messiah gave his life to understand. Every such institution, my brothers and sisters, the Most High counts an enemy. An enemy against men discerning the word of the one Most High. The Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. But, he said, watch out for false Christs. Ones after a false anointing. One who will cause men, my brothers and sisters, to remain confused and confused, remaining in the darkness, seeing that they are wise, but never having seen or wanted to truly see the light that exposes the deceiver, the exploiter, that will cause men to become co-participants in mass damnable exploitations. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 15, 9th chapter. It says, those who would turn toward righteousness, the system would seek to make a prey. Those who would turn from transgression, the system would make a prey, because men have set up for themselves crooked paths to lead people out from the straight and narrow. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. He says, because of this, for this reason, Messiah will put upon himself the whole armor of Yah, a helmet of salvation upon his head, a breastplate of righteousness, and a cloak of zeal for his shield. To render recompense to his enemies. How about to render punishment? Due punishment upon all those who resist the magnificence of the testimony the Most High grants him for the redemption of his people. Hard words, I know. But my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, for this reason, you find such scriptures rewritten, like at Isaiah 35, 1 through 5. It says, Yah the Avenger, even Yah the Savior. Did you know it said Yah the Avenger, the God of recompense, it says, is coming to save you. And then your eyes should be open, and then your ears should be unstopped. Our brothers and sisters, the Most High has promised to redeem a people who were once enemies. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, will realize that he said at Yohanan what it means when he said at 15:14, you are my friends if you do everything that I command. We lived in a world for a long time that men have thought themselves wise, thought themselves saved, thought themselves beyond all contentious division. After all manner of partial standards, after what seemed wise, following after their rulers, who the scripture says point blank, if anyone seeks to cause his brother not to discern any part of what is the law and the prophets, he is guilty unto hellfire. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, what then does it say about those who follow such as would seek to be just, to seek to be justified, the word that can never appease or fully please the one Most High to perform all that is his will? Hear me, anytime someone will declare a standard less than that which the Most High is pleased with, he declares arguments against ever seeing divine will be done. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, how such an ideal is treacherous against the utmost command of the kingdom itself, that we must love and seek the Most High, that we discern him as he is, for all that he has declared, that we remain constant, my brothers and sisters, in learning his will, true to it. He said, if you love me, keep your allegiance to me. Keep, guard, maintain, and defend my commandments. His conscience against a hostile world that will pervert the understanding. He said he would ask the Father for the worldly, those who care not for a pure, perfect word, and not receive. You need to understand, he said, if you desire to guard, maintain, and defend the fullness of the conscience that he declares, that declares him as king, no lesser standard, my brothers and sisters, the word of that one great king. He said, petition the Father that you be granted the Spirit that grants you power to discern the higher conscience of the Most High, that you might guard and defend the integrity of a word, nothing lost. But my brothers and sisters, that has not been the design of the rulers of the nations. And they compel the people to believe themselves wise after every manner of partiality, never having ever even kept the Shabbat, never seeking the fullness and the completion of all that is divine will, everyone seeking to be justified after fallen standards. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, what does this really mean? It is after the conspirings of the nation that men have not discerned even who Messiah is. If you want to know more about that, please, article on my website called Prophetic Proof at HiddenGospel.com demands. In its design that men must give it consideration. For who Messiah is, my brothers and sisters, one cannot discern, but he discerns what he did some 2,700. If one cannot understand what he did 2,700 years ago, he can't understand what he did 2,100 years ago, nor what he comes to do. Rome has taught a false Messiah, complicit with all the lying misconceits of all the nations. And you must understand beyond them all. For nothing less, my brothers and sisters, will open the mind and the heart to be found worthy of the holy kingdom of Yah. Rome is lied, and the day, my brothers and sisters, of the lie's demise is now upon us. I'm looking now, and it seems I got about, 21 seconds left? Heaven help us. So much more I still want to tell you, my brothers and sisters. Please keep tuned. So much more about all that I've spoken. It still needs to be. And until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, please check out that website of mine, HiddenGospel.com. And until we speak again, Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again, yes, I do, for listening, for the time of the great promise of the Most High, whereby he will bring to bear all that he has declared to silence every mouth that would stand against him, that all who would stand and contend against him should be ashamed. My brothers and sisters, this is the time of that reawakened wisdom, that even the voice of one who speaks it. Lied when he told you that he told you that was lying. The sanction of the verse two. He was lying and told you that to the day he was stuck. We're gonna write the book on conquer all the lies, let them see, and the thrones of all the nations. I repeat, Messiah is the king promised to conquer and overthrow all the miscreants, deceptions, and lies. There's all the thrones and all the misrulership of all the nations.
Thank you.